You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Jacinda Ardern's current trip to Europe has seen the finalisation of a landmark free trade deal with the European Union. This is the culmination of years' worth of work and decades' worth of negotiations. Aotearoa and the EU will now be able to freely trade several different forms of agricultural and food exports, such as cheese, vegetables, meat, and dairy. To learn more, I spoke to University of Auckland Professor Stephen Hoadley about what this means for the future of both the EU and New Zealand.
Well, the relationship with the European Union has always been somewhat spotty. New Zealand has felt a bit aggrieved because when Britain went into the European Economic Community, as it was then in 1973, New Zealand felt abandoned. In fact, the joke of the day was that the mother not only cut the apron strings to child New Zealand, but ran off with a Frenchman. And eventually New Zealand negotiated Protocol 18, which did allow for limited access of New Zealand goods into the European Union. But it's been a struggle ever since. Every year New Zealand negotiators have had to go to the European Union to try to extend the quota, to reduce the tariffs, to get the greater access. It's been moderately successful. The European Union is New Zealand's third best trade partner behind Australia and China. So it's been worth the effort, but the big push for many years has been to get a proper free trade agreement. As your listeners may know, New Zealand pioneered free trade agreements with Australia way back in 1983. And has been at the forefront of a number of very high-quality economic liberalization agreements over the years. So the European Union one is maybe the jewel in the crown. Maybe this will prove to be one of New Zealand's greatest negotiating triumphs.
How long has this process taken, and why has it been such a struggle for New Zealand to strike a good deal?
Well, the process taken, the immediate process has taken 4 years. It was triggered by Brexit when the British left. This provided an opportunity for New Zealand to have then a separate agreement with Great Britain, which it has achieved, and a separate agreement then with the European Union. But the problem with the European Union has always been the protectionism of, well, largely French farmers. Now, they're not the only ones. The Danish and Dutch dairy producers have also been resistant, and some wine producers have been resistant because they somehow have the feeling that New Zealand is going to take over their markets and jeopardize the jobs of their own producers. Well, nothing could be further from the case. New Zealand's volumes are very small. Yes, the price is good, the quality is good, consumers like New Zealand products, but the job for the negotiators is to persuade, say, the French government, for example, not the only one, but probably the leading, most reluctant party, that New Zealand will not flood the market. It will not create a crisis amongst the lamb producers of rural France, that the entry into the market will be orderly. It'll be according to the regulations set by the European Union. New Zealand will comply with all of those hundreds of regulations and standards, and that the entry of New Zealand into the market will not be disruptive.
Could we see this relationship between New Zealand and the European Union improve in other ways outside of trade due to this deal?
Well, yes. Look, that's an amazing thing. I urge your listeners to have a look at the reports of the trade deal, and it is much, much greater than trade. For example, in the agreement, there's a Maori chapter, there's a chapter on law enforcement, there's a chapter on the environment, there's a chapter on labor, there's a chapter on gender equality, and it looks as if, and there's a chapter on climate change, on curbing greenhouse gases. So the agreement has gone much past just the simple reduced tariffs and barriers, which is the basic element of a free trade agreement. It's gone into other social areas, other policy areas, and it's very comprehensive. Now, trade economic purists, minimalists, will say, look, this is not good. And certainly people like Jane Kelsey, Professor Kelsey at the University of Auckland Law School, will complain that this agreement is far too intrusive into other social areas, and it gives too much strength to corporate interests. And there will be other critics of this agreement as well. But in the government's view, it goes back to your original question, the total relationship with the European Union and with other international agreements and organizations is incorporated into this omnibus agreement. So it's trade, it's investment, it's digital commerce, it's climate change, it's social issues, gender issues, ethnic issues, management of criminal activity and fraud. And so in that respect, it's a very progressive and very comprehensive way in which New Zealand will govern its relationship with the European Union and vice versa.
So what sort of changes could New Zealanders see over the next few years, day to day, in their supermarkets and stuff?
Well, we hope that it will bring prices down. That is, the larger the market, this lowers prices because market efficiencies through economies of scale are realized. But the immediate effect is, at least over the next few years, because there is a phase-in period. Every trade agreement doesn't take effect immediately in its totality, but some aspects take up to 9 years to actually come to full realization. Certain things will be phased out. Now, obviously, the cheese issue is one that stands out, and that feta, for example, the local manufacturers of feta cheese will have to change their brand name. Maybe they'll find a local name, a Maori name, for example, or a local place name rather than feta, and that will be one change. But on the other hand, the compromise is that New Zealand has been able to keep the names of Kolda cheese, mozzarella cheese, halloumi cheese, brie, and camembert. So this is a good example that New Zealand has surrendered feta, but has been able to keep other geographical indicator names. So good on the negotiators for doing that. So that's one change that the New Zealanders will see. There has been a relaxation of tariffs on sheep meat, on dairy products, and so forth. So this will benefit Fonterra and New Zealand lamb and beef and other corporate manufacturers and exporters of goods to the European Union. And hopefully that'll flow through in taxation and in benefits to the New Zealand economy. But it'll be indirect. It will be good for farmers, so we can hope that their profitability, their margins will increase marginally, and there'll be fewer bankruptcies and failures in the farming community. But for you and me in the urban sector, we're probably not going to see any dramatic changes, but we have to take the long view and say, look, this agreement is going to keep the New Zealand standard of living up. It's going to keep the trade relationship strong. It's going to make sure that New Zealand's economic growth continues, or at least if it declines, and some people are predicting a recession, the decline will be minor, and New Zealand will recover then after a period of recession and go on to enjoy rising growth rates, which will mean more jobs for you and me, more income, and hopefully better access to the housing market.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.